Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
To the sweet sounds of Kevin Bloody Wilson, it's a bonus episode of Hump Day with Swanee and Friends, Dane Swan, Samantha Richards, and guest friend, dual premiership captain for the Adelaide Crows, Mark Bickley. Hello, Bix. Hello, everyone.
Hey, Ralph. G'day. Dane, Sam, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, thanks.
We're well. How are you doing it tough in Adelaide at the moment here from the world's most livable city in Melbourne?
Yeah, well, look, I think we're third in the most livable city. We're right sort of on your heels, I think, maybe even overtaking you. We literally...
Certainly hope so.
Yeah, you can have it.
Sorry for you guys over there and the eastern states, because we're doing it pretty well. We've had some moments where we've locked down for a couple of days and a week, but nothing like you guys are experiencing. So feel for you, mate, and hopefully the end isn't too far away.
Well, the end isn't far.
The end is very close, but we're going to talk about the earthquake at the end of when you have to go. But we've got you on, obviously, not just grand final week, but your mate and premiership teammate, Simon Goodwin, is controlling the D's destiny this year. How have you seen his progression?
Yeah, look, it's been amazing. I caught up with Goody, I reckon, at the grand final a couple of years ago after they bombed out against the West Coast Eagles, that disaster game they had, and it was all looking pretty rosy. But then there was a couple of years where it sort of went the other way. And one of the things about Goody is he's always up for a challenge and he's always up for self-improvement. So, you know, I'm pretty sure that he had a fairly solid inward look over the, you know, at the end of last season. And it's just been amazing this year. And you know, to me, it looks like the improvements come through that sort of connection. They look like a group that really enjoys being around each other, that are really great mates and, enjoying their footy. So, you know, I know you say that about every team that's winning, but, you know, Melbourne certainly fit that bill.
What was his progression from as a player to coach in your eyes?
I think he was he really enjoyed Neil Craig's coaching. Like, Neil Craig was a very methodical, sort of evidence-based coach. Probably the opposite to Malcolm Blight, who was, you know, more around sort of instinct and flair. So, you know, Goody having sort of played significant sort of periods under both those guys has probably got a nice mix of both. But when he was playing, you know, I was actually an assistant coach for Goody's last 2 years, and he was effectively an assistant coach out on the ground. So he was already doing coaching courses, and it was always in his destiny. So not really surprised that he's made a pretty solid fist of it.
As a player, as we speak, he's actually the only coach in the AFL Hall of Fame. I assume Michael Voss will this afternoon, or of course during the year Bucks and Robert Harvey was. But Dane, how good a player must you be to have been a five-time All-Australian and won your best and fairest 3 times? Geez, you must have been a good player to get to that level, Dane.
Extremely talented. They don't grow on trees. Well, I guess I'm waiting. I guess I'll be waiting for my call to – Scott Carlton never called me then. If that's what it takes to be a coach.
What was the early days like, Bix? Because, and he actually referenced this during the week, I think on the couch or with the Fox Footy boys, either way, that he was almost a bit like young Brett Bowie. God, what's his son's name? Escaped me. But he was almost, a seven-game player when he first became a premiership player.
Yeah, I had a look there before this because I knew this would come up, but it's like 10th game was a premiership and his 31st game was a premiership. So he was 21 years of age, 31 games, two flags. And
not bad.
And then played 275 and never played another one. So it's interesting. When you look at Jonathan Brown, he was the same. Brownie had three flags before 50 games, then played another 200 and something games and played in one more final for the last 10 years of his career. So I think that sometimes, and I've spoken to Goody about this, you probably don't appreciate that as a 20-year-old, the significance of it. So I was an old fart by the time we won. So I, was able to really appreciate how hard it was to get there. But I think by the end of Goody's career, they finished, in 05 and 06, they were probably the best team, finished top or second both years and never made the grand final. So, he'll look back and sort of appreciate that. But I reckon at the time he probably didn't think it, that would be the end. So I reckon he's in a really good position to be able to talk to the experienced guys about making the most of the opportunity and also sort of impressing upon the younger guys that doesn't matter how old you are, you can still make an impact. Both those grand finals, he played really well as a young boy.
Now, obviously the most important thing, was he a good celebrator?
Oh, mate, he was the best. Well, that was it. He had youth on his side. So,
exactly.
There was a funny story about one of the things we did when we won the flag after about 4 or 5 days, the club, in its wisdom, decided to hire a small plane and take the Premiership Cup around to all the country regions. And so you can imagine what we're like, 4 days in, in a plane sort of flying, very sort of compact little plane.
No good, no good.
It wasn't great at all.
There. Yeah.
And we arrived in Sejuna and it was 44 degrees and it was hot and it was windy. And I think it was Goody got out of the plane and he put, because we were taking the Premiership Cup everywhere, he put the cup on the wing of the plane just while we were stretching our legs. Uh-oh. And a big gust of wind came up and blew the cup off the wing. So it landed on the tarmac, which was sort of really rough sort of asphalt, and took a big ding out of it and a scratch. So I think we had to go back to the metal workshop after about a week or so and get that dent knocked out of it. But that was Goody's fault.
Am I right? Does memory tell me that as part of this tour that Goody was actually one who actually forgot what he was talking about halfway through? Because you all had to say the same things. I remember you telling me this.
What would happen is every place we'd go, we'd get interviewed and there'd be the same three questions every time. What's it like to run out on the MCG with 100,000 people there? And then the next question is, it must be a dream come true. We got the Sejuna, it might have been Sejuna actually, and literally they didn't have anyone to do the interview. And so I said, oh, look, I'll interview Goody. And we were literally on the back of a truck. And if you can picture in sort of the American sort of teenage movies, in those school sort of setups, the principal has that sort of microphone that has a sort of bass on it and it sort of comes up. And we were literally holding one of these sort of 1960 microphones. And the first question I said to Goody, it must be a dream come true for you, Goody, running out in front of 100,000 people. And, of course, he was a little bit under the weather and he thought that was pretty funny and he just sort of couldn't stop laughing for 10 seconds. So I asked the next question, which was, it must be a dream come true, winning a flag as a 20-year-old. And he just kept laughing again and then asked another one, which was another generic question that he'd been asked. And he was laughing that hard. He couldn't answer that. And he never got one word out. So, he was a little bit under the weather for a fair bit of that.
Have you been in communication with them this week? Because I've said, the Melbourne supporters, and especially the players and Goody, obviously like to celebrate what most everyone does who likes to win a flag. Now, do they have to be on the floor? Because the last thing you would want to be doing, Melbourne, all the Bulldogs, I guess, is winning the flag and being told from WA that you have to come straight back to Melbourne, where you're not allowed to do anything. Well, what's the point of winning a flag first round in 6 years? Well, if you had to go straight on the red eye for WA and not allowed to leave your house, so do they have plans? Are they going to? Well, will he go back to Adelaide? Will he go to Queensland where they can celebrating on the Goldie. Are they allowed to stay in WA? Because you'd be mad to come back here.
Mate, I would have thought you might have been in touch with someone in Vegas and sort of teed them up with something over there, Swanee. Could you organise that?
I absolutely could. It's just we're not allowed to leave. We're not allowed to leave. The country.
I sent Goody a text message probably the night of or the day after they won. I think I said I'll get in early before your phone explodes, and he just got back and said they were, you know, really excited and basically said we've got one game to go, so you know, we're focusing on that, but. Yeah, that was, he had his sort of coach speak sort of happening there, so I don't think he was really worried about what was going on.
Yeah.
Hey, and we're not presuming Melbourne, but Melbourne are slight favourites over the Bulldogs, and hopefully it's a great game, and I'm actually just lying. I just hope Melbourne win. I don't care. But what Swanee and I have spoken about this year with Samantha host our punting segment, we talk about math science, and I always say, the biggest lot of bullshit, the best way to lose money with footy betting is looking at stats. And it's all this, oh, Melbourne have to win their first premiership since 1964. Well, this team doesn't. They weren't even born there. They weren't even born in the 90s, most of some of them. But it's just a matter of winning this week. And in some respects, that was similar with you guys, that you know, no South Australian team had won the grand final, and it was just a matter of doing the job.
Yeah, that's it. And winners write the history as well, Ralph. You know that. Like, I had the laugh last week over here in Adelaide. There was a huge outroar that Willem Drew started on the bench and didn't start on Tom Liberatore. And, you know, that cost him the match. It's like Robbie Gray, Travis Boak and Ollie Wines started in the middle, and all of a sudden they couldn't get the job done. But if Willem Drew was in the middle, that would have been the difference, you know. Like, just some of the irrational sort of commentary around it. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense, you know. So 2 minutes into the game was over effectively.
What do you think happened to Port? Are they choked or?
I just think subconsciously they weren't expecting the ferocity that the Bulldogs brought. Anything that the Bulldogs had over Port, I felt, was that they had a definite advantage through the midfield. So if they could sort of dominate that area and Holt sort of Port Adelaide's supply, they're always going to be a good chance. But they played out of their skin as well. They're playing a great brand of footy and you know, really sort of great team footy. So and I think the longer it goes, there was this sort of this panic you could see in Port Adelaide's eyes that sort of, hey, hang on a minute, we're 5-1, then it was 7-1, then it was, you know, 50-something points at halftime, and you just sort of sensed that there was this realisation that this is all turned to shit, unfortunately. So it's not a nice feeling.
Dane's very distressed about the Port Adelaide supporters because he's on very good terms with them, particularly during the year when they changed their jumpers afterwards. How are they coping with it?
Well, they do have a tendency to get sort of unhappy and sort of, I think, eat their own sort of race a couple of times. They're not happy with Ken. They're not happy with some of the players, but I don't know.
It's a shame. It's a shame.
Yeah, we've all been there. It's not a great feeling. You know, we were... No. 7 up at half time in a prelim, and we managed to stuff that up. That wasn't a great feeling. So I've been there and done it, but they've still got a pretty. If Boak and a couple of those other older guys can hang in there, they've still got a really good crop of young blokes. So they'll challenge again next year, I think.
So if this was the one though, because you don't have to come to Melbourne. They could have got a. If things had a way, they might have got a home final, home granny in Adelaide, which I'm sure you disappointed. You missed out on because I was. Going to ask, did you not think about going to Perth, support your mate, and I'm sure there would have been a couple of jobs over there for you too.
I'm not like you, Dane. I'm chilling out here, you know. I would have loved to go on and got a couple of envelopes like you do, but that's the trouble. When back in the heyday, when just after we won a few flags, that's what Ralph and I sort of became great friends. He would organise. He was like my manager. He would organise me to go
nothing from
Melbourne.
You would have taken it, absolutely.
That's all. I don't know what's happened, Ralph. It's all gone.
Yeah, absolutely. I often say that same line. What? How did this happen? When did I get here? Talking head straight about it. Hey, back in the day, I've got a Swanee comparison for you. So Swanee always says when he started off. He was in Williamstown reserves and realised that things weren't quite going to plan when it comes to whatever goals he had in mind. What was your equivalent of Williamstown reserves when you thought, I'm not sure if I'm really going to make it from here, or maybe I need to lift.
Well, I come from a town called Port Pirie, which is about 3 hours north of Adelaide. Now, its claim to fame, it's got the biggest lead smelter in the world. So I was working as an electrician in the lead smelter as a 18-year-old, sort of playing in the country. So there was a fair way away from where I ended up. So that was probably it. So, you know, you have the...
No, I've got another one.
Plumber from wherever he was from. I was the back pocket electrician from Port Pirie.
Was it South Adelaide when you lined up on a ruckman?
I came down and I tried out for North Adelaide, and Mick Noonan was the coach, and I was a midfielder, or thought I was, and I sat on the bench in the reserves for the first three quarters, and he put me on in the back pocket on the resting ruckman. So I sort of worked out after that that my future really wasn't at North Adelaide. So that's when I sort of went back home and then got a phone call from South Adelaide and ended up there. And fortunately, they were the worst club in the sample at the time. They'd won one game the year before, so they had no money and not much hope. So they went on a bit of a country recruiting drive and they found me, so I was pretty fortunate.
Yeah, talk Dane through, who's, you know, nothing's for nothing, is he saying. Talk Dane through about what your first contract was at Adelaide before your first game. How much had you really organised your finances here?
Well, this is what happened. So we had a squad of 42, and so the 42 players are meant to be contracted. Well, what happened, we had a couple of big-name players like Scott Hodges and Tony McGinnis and a couple of these guys. And they negotiated a bit harder than what the club had thought. And so the blokes at the end of the chain, which was me and Matthew Liptak and a couple of others, they came to us about a week out from the deadline and said, look, we've got good news and bad news. The good news is you've made the final list of 42, but the bad news is we've spent all the money and we don't have any money to give you a contract, so you've got to play for nothing. And it's like, oh, shit, that's a bit rough. And so...
were you in your car by then?
You end up playing, we'll give you a match payment, but there's no retainer or anything. So I sort of said, okay, well, we'll just play. And then round four, Neil Curley sort of brought me into his office and said, mate, you're in the team. This is on the Wednesday. And he said, here, you got to sign this, and it's a contract. And so that was $1,000 a game, which was good for me because I was getting about 200 playing for South Adelaide, and this is in 1991, and I said, you know, I had this sort of voice in the back of my head saying, never sign a contract without reading it. You know how that great advice your mum or your dad ever gives you? So I said to Neil Curley, who was a bit intimidating, I said, Neil, should I get a manager or someone to look at this before I sign it? And he said, I don't give a stuff who you get to look at it. It's not changing, so you either sign it and you play, or if you don't sign it, you don't play. So I said, oh, well, I'll just sign it. So that was it. So I played every game after that, played 18 games, 18 grand minus tax. I got about 10 grand from the first year.
Yeah, you going with that, Dane?
Yeah.
That'll
last you 2 weeks, Dane.
Well, now, but back then my first contract was 36, and then by the time your manager and tax get to it, I wasn't much more. And this was... back in the day, most of us, what's that, $3,000 a month you were getting? But in the day and age these days, it wouldn't get you very far. But we used to be able to get our pay forwarded if we wanted to. So, like, I'd go through $3,000 in the first 2 weeks because all I did was go out. I was about 6 months in front of me pay. So I was going, no, I have to borrow off my parents next. I wouldn't be able to pay rent and stuff like that. And the club eventually said, mate, no more of this for you. I probably wasn't great at budgeting. Not that I had a lot to budget with, but yeah, 36 was my first, and it fucking took a fair while for it to raise, let me tell you.
That was your number, wasn't it?
It was.
Should have asked for number 52.
Dane, I asked for 1,000,001. I had 15 numbers on me back.
Dane, if you were sat down in that chair that Mark was sat down in, and they had that conversation with you and said, unfortunately, there's nothing left in the piggy bank to pay you, what do you think your response would have been? Would it have been similar to Mark's, do you think?
Well, I think it depends how old I was. As a young kid, you probably were like, fuck it, you have to take it because you want to play AFL, but I wouldn't have been happy with it.
No doubt.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Vix, with your media career, you really embraced it early doors, and actually at the time, you know, like if you watch the TV now and it's Matthew Pavlich or Glenn Jakovich or Rue or Treaders, you don't think of it as, oh, it's a non-Victorian on, it's just an AFL person. But at the time it was either Neil Curley or no one, and it was a real us versus them. But you just embraced being part of the media and coming over for the footy show and enjoying it, didn't you?
Yeah, and back then, once again, you think about the footy show, it was so freaking huge. And so just getting the opportunity. I think the first time I went on was when the footy show came to Adelaide. So we did that in Adelaide, which was a bit of fun.
I think we wheeled Sam Newman out as Hannibal Lecter.
That's right. He was very well loved at Adelaide. And then after we had a bit of success, had the opportunity to go to Melbourne and do it. And Blighty was really good. because back then, a lot of the coaches didn't want you doing any media. And so I said to Blighty, oh, look, I'm keen to do some stuff in Melbourne, so I have to fly over to Melbourne and fly back Friday morning and, you know, be back for training. And I said, I just wanted to check and make sure that's okay. And he said, well, I just got to ask you one question. He said, when you go for the footy on the weekend and you're going to win the ball, are you going to be thinking what you said on Thursday night on the footy show? And I said, no, I wouldn't have thought so. He said, I don't have a problem then. So he was good. Gary Ayres, who was the coach after Blighty, he wasn't as sort of embracing. And there was a couple of times when flew over, did the show Thursday night, went to catch the plane Friday morning, and it was like really foggy. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, training starts at 10, you know, I was due to land at about 8:30 in the morning. If we're delayed and I can't train, like, he's going to rip my head off. So fortunately, the Melbourne weather never sort of caught me out, but there are a few nervous moments with Ayrsy because he was a little bit less forgiving than Blighty.
And Dane and I have in common working with Ed. Do you want to break the news that Ed was pretty passionate about his work?
Yeah.
Behind the scenes?
No, he was amazing, really. One of the things, though, he's such a loyal bloke. I'd get over there and I literally was pretty shy and was just enjoying the whole thing. So the end of the show, we'd come, we'd hang around for a bit, and then, you know, I'd have the cab charge. I'd go out and get ready to jump in the cab to go to the hotel they put me up at, and he'd say, what are you doing? I said, I'm just waiting for the cab. He said, no, come with me. You know, jump in my car and drop you off to the hotel. I used to feel like $1 million, mate, when I stepped out of the car. So it was just great to get to know, you know, a lot of those guys. So it was good fun.
And just probably to finish with, because I know you're pumped for time, but your last gig there at Channel 9 after you retired was as the Sunday Footy Show panel member, and Gary Lyon was the host. He gets to present the Premiership Cup this week. It's a nice little bit of synergy, isn't it?
Yeah, look, it is. It's awesome. And he's probably the embodiment of Melbourne supporters, isn't he? You know, like he's so passionate about his club, but he's been so frustrated and disappointed over the years. And I can see it in his eyes when you look at him. He just looks like, you know, he's so excited. He's like a little kid. And I was fortunate enough, or unfortunate, depending on which way you want to look at it. I was going to present the Premiership Cup to Taylor Walker of Adelaide, had a one in 2017. As it turned out, Matthew Richardson did it to Trent Cotchin. But you know, once again, I spent a bit of time with Richo, and you know, when you saw him up presenting the cup, you just thought, you know, that's just so good. Is there anyone more deserving than that? And it's similar with, you know, Chris Grant and Gary Lyon, both super footy people that have been really dedicated and given the game so much. So it's just, I reckon it's an awesome thing that you get those sort of important people to the club to do that honour.
How was that day? What do you, have you got many things you have to do in the morning, or is it just roll up to the game and if you win, you hand it over?
Yeah, it's pretty. I think you get involved a little bit beforehand, and you're out on the ground for the national anthem, and you sort of walk up and put that cup on the podium. So that was just, it was a great experience. Like, you can imagine, you know what it's like on the MCG, that roar after the national anthem. So when you're standing out in the middle, it just comes at you from all different angles, and so being out on the ground, it was great. So. Yeah, I was barracking really hard for Adelaide to win.
Did you think you had him at the anthem during a power stand?
No, well, that's sort of, I was a bit worried about that. But about 20 minutes into the first quarter, I think Adelaide kicked the first two goals, and yeah. I was sitting up high in my chair. And then by about halfway during the third, I was just sort of slumping down a little bit. So anyway, it is what it is. But sort of getting back to Eddie, I could almost hear in the back of my mind, he was probably saying, "Don't worry, Bix. You know, it maintains the brand a bit. You're still the only premiership captain in Adelaide. You know, you don't want to go with the brand."
Absolutely.
Letting someone else sort of join the club.
No doubt. Is your mate going to hold up the cup and make our Stevens happy?
Who wins?
I think so. I think Melbourne will probably get it done. I have this sort of theory as well around who I barrack for in the grand final. I think it's such a privilege to win a flag, and you sort of have this satisfaction, and you see blokes like Gary and Rob Harvey and a million great players who never get the chance to win the flag, and you sort of feel, or they often say that it's just, they feel a bit sort of, unsatisfied by not being able to do it. And so, you know, my theory is as many people that play the game should be able to get that chance to experience it. So when you look at Melbourne, no one in their team's won a flag before, and none of their supporters that are under 57 years of age have experienced it. So, you know, I'm sort of a bit magnanimous. I just want people to have that experience. And there's eight or nine Bulldogs players that have already done it. You know, their fans experience what it's like to break the drought in 2016. So I reckon it'd be a huge party and a just reward for all the tortured souls like you, Ralph.
Sorry, I guess you'll be watching at home on your own. Like everyone else in Victoria, like just sitting there, no friends allowed at home. Well, you've been doing something.
This is what's happened: is that it's a really unfortunate set of circumstances. A lot of the wives and mums, particularly in my sort of circle of friends, they've all decided to go out of town and go on a trip away.
Oh. Don't tell me that, Mark.
So the dads have decided to organise a nice little shindig at a pub. So we'll be watching it. 6 o'clock, great starting time. It'll probably be...
Thanks for breaking my heart there, Mark. Very nice.
We'll be sitting down and we won't be dancing. They're the restrictions we have. But anyway, we'll be enjoying it. But yeah. I'm sure... I'll be thinking of you, Dane, anyway, at the same time.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure you will be, Mark. I'm sure you will be. Yeah, thank you.
You're a great man. I know you're out of the pub work-wise, so thank you for joining us. We're going to keep having a chat.
Thanks very much, mate.
Really awesome, guys. Really enjoyed it.
Good luck.
See you, guys.
Mark Bickley joining us there. Now, apart from everything else that's happening in our lives, earthquake. How'd you go there, Dane?
Yeah, what the fuck?
Mate, I just thought it was the wind.
Did you really?
Well, I don't fucking think of it. When an earthquake's never happened, I've never experienced an earthquake. Well, my house was shaking. Like, I was sitting on the couch with the dog. Taylor and Tate got off the tram on Chapel Street too, so where all the carnage was.
Wow.
But I didn't know that. And then it started shaking. I was like, fuck, it's windy. And I wanted to go for like 10 seconds maybe. I was like,
yeah.
Jesus, there's a fucking hell. Actually, I thought my house was going to fall over. I was like, oh, my goodness. And then obviously I sort of was winning. Then when Brad didn't step back on the couch and started watching Taylor. And Taylor came in and she's like, fuck, are you all right? I was like, yeah. I go, fuck, why? It was windy, eh? She's like, fuck. She's like, it's a fucking earthquake. Thanks for ringing us and finding out if we're okay. I was like, what do you mean? I was like, that was an earthquake. She was like, I was just taking it on a tram. I was like, I don't know. I thought it was a wind.
Wow.
So I got yelled at for not caring about my family. Not ringing up if it was all right. But yeah, that was my experience. Well, I was just sitting on the couch and the house started wobbling, and I just legitimately thought it was a wind because I've never been to an earthquake before. And obviously, she's like, "Dang, your phone would have bloody been off." So if no one, not one person, messaged me, then I was on. Then it started. So obviously, no one cares about me. Then, then obviously the WhatsApp started going through. I was like, "Fuck, okay, we weren't in an earthquake. Fair enough." That was my experience. Anyone, Betty's Burgers is 500 metres from me, and like I usually go to Coles. That's the Coles I go to on Chapel Street, the supermarket, and they, well, I was about to go up there, and they're closed because of some old bricks or something, like, are in a treacherous position, might fall over and donk someone on the head. So,
can only hope protesters are going to.
Yeah, well, exactly. Maybe if Brett, maybe if our CHL sub walks through there. but yeah, so I couldn't go up the supermarket last night, which was a shame. So we have to have leftovers. But
I'm just trying to work this into a headline. Dane's brushed with death as family issues queried his concern about his
yeah,
his partner and son.
Well, Taylor got off on Chapel Street, so theoretically, and it was, she only got home probably 10 minutes after, so she was outside when it happened, so she could have been donked on there by a brick, but thankfully she wasn't.
Absolutely. Sam, where'd you go?
Well, I was snoozing because Noah was asleep, and Stephen thinks that I sleep in too long in the mornings. So you know when you startle awake and you should have been doing something else and you pretend that you've actually been awake for ages? Yeah, no, I'm awake, I'm doing stuff. I thought it was because I was half asleep. I thought it was him bashing on the bedroom windows. So I fucking jumped out of bed like, yep, what's going on? And then I realized that the whole room was shaking, and we have a huge photo frame above our bed, and Noah was in the middle of our bed in his little co-sleeper. And I was scared it was going to fall off the wall, so I just yanked him away from it. And then I called Stephen too, because he didn't call us either, Dane. He didn't care. He goes, "Oh, do you feel that?" "Yes, I did. Yep. Checking your son's all right? Checking I'm okay? Good to know." It was pretty scary.
Too busy keeping the house afloat. That's what we're trying to do.
Oh, listen to it.
No, that was some multis going today. So we have to do our math science tomorrow, Dane. Sorry, I've got some bad news for you. One more.
Oh, fucking hell. Okay.
We're so busy. We've got so much on, Ralph. How's he going to squeeze it in?
Well, we're just giving back to the people. I've got to pick up the merch from Swanee. We're getting a few emails about
that. When are you doing that?
I'm picking it up Saturday because I'm going to need to do a bit of driving to sort of get rid of my nerves.
Right.
I'll pick it up for your place Saturday, and I'll envelope stuff up Saturday afternoon between watching races and getting ready for the footy. So if you're waiting for the merch, that's what it'll be coming out. And if you haven't got merch, swanneeandfriends.com.au. Nothing's for nothing. All right. Talk tomorrow.
Bye. See you tomorrow.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style. Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.